And you're back with Annie and Toby, and we've got Ralph Edwards on the line. Ralph Edwards is the former president of the Victorian branch of the CFMEU Construction and General Division, Victoria, Tasmania. G'day, Ralph. How are you?
Good, all things considered.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. It's been a really outrageous and dreadful and frustrating time, hasn't it?
That is an understatement, Annie.
Okay.
It is an absolute mess.
Well,
but,
yeah.
But the union must go on, and I'm sure with the rally the week before and with all the sort of feedback I get from members of the union, from officials of the union, from delegates of the union will go on. It's going to be extremely tough, but I think that people are committed to the fight, and I think the fight will be successful.
Well, you know, it's interesting because they do say that the ALP doesn't want to give the impression that it's attacking the unions. They want to have the CFMEU, but they want to hollow the union out. Is that what's your view on that?
The traditional term is tame cat union. And I'm sure that most politicians do not like anyone being other than their clients, and that includes trade unions. It has been a historic problem in the Labor movement. Unions did create the Labor Party to try and give themselves some wider impact on society rather than just being a defensive, you know, wages and conditions orientated organisation. And over time, unfortunately, the child that was created has become the master.
Yeah, it's an interesting analysis because it's really about power, isn't it? And which parts of the politic is actually allowed to be at the table.
That's right. And, I mean, I recently gave the example of Joan Kerner, first woman Labor Premier of the state, who actually was on the picket line in the 1998 maritime dispute. She was there. She could give support to the MUA without obviously any problems with her view of the world, but at the same time, as a minister in the Kane government and as a Premier of a Kerner government, she did everything she could to destroy the BLF,
yep,
a trade union. So there are these contradictions, but I did also point out to people that she was never so happy when faced by the police that a whole lot of building workers came down to the picket line first thing in the morning and, let's say, discouraged the police from what they were planning on doing. And for that, she was very, very grateful.
Ralph, one of the things that I...
Oh, dear. How ironic.
Yeah, exactly. You're not wrong. Sorry for interrupting. One of the things I've noticed about the CFMEU Construction and General Division is that in Victoria, and I presume it's similar around Australia, but I don't know, but is that there's been a really lot of work been going on over a number of years to have a very member-focused approach to delegates and interactions, lots of meetings where you general group meetings talking about the process and all the rest of it. I mean, the politicians are acting as if this union isn't actually representing its members.
Well, I wouldn't have thought there were too many unions in this country and even branches of the CFMEU who have as many meetings or the rank and file as the CFMEU Vic-Tas branch does. I mean, there are delegates meetings on a monthly basis. There are general meetings on a monthly basis. There are young activist meetings on a monthly basis. It just goes on and on and on. Health and safety reps on a monthly basis. There is an opportunity for rank and file members to participate in the union, that has, yes, it has definitely increased. It was always there. It was the strength of the CFMEU coming out of the original amalgamation, but it has increased, and the number of meetings is extraordinary. And that's on top of the actual meetings you have to have under your constitution for the management of the union. So I would think that's a very good observation on your part, and it's been the strength of the CFMEU.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, at the community meeting last 2 weeks, I think it was, one of the workers, a woman, stood up and said that she had been part of the manufacturing division of the CFMEU and had felt incredibly isolated. But when she moved over to the construction and general division, she couldn't, she felt like she was part of a community. I found that fascinating.
Equally fascinating is the news that the divisional secretary of the CFMEU manufacturing division, Michael O'Connor, is now being charged with misusing his position as a trustee of a super fund. I wonder if the ACTU is going to come out and condemn him like they condemn the construction division. There's a question for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, that's a watching brief. And that leads us into two really important issues, which is the CPU's disaffiliation from the ACTU, the role of the ACTU in this abysmal affair that's been going on.
Well, I think that, and this is personal view only, I mean, I have no role in the CFMEU construction division. I'm an ex-official and a retired life member, so I guess I'm on the outer, so I can make an observation. I think that the decision by the CEPU, so the communications workers, the electrical trades and the plumbing and pipe trades, have walked away from the ACTU, I would have thought, at a very crucial period of time leading up to the next election, where Albanese and his government aren't going too bloody well. And unfortunately, the alternative looks like Peter Dutton's conservative, very anti-union coalition. But this might be a way for maybe me just being Peter Pan and ever hopeful, but this might be a way to break up the almost unavoidable connection between the Labor movement, or sorry, the trade union movement and the Labor Party, so that maybe they have to respond a bit more to the wishes of the people they claim they represent.
The ones that give them the power.
No one else is organised. Yeah. No one else is organised, are they? The ACTU has always been a problem in my view, and splitting that up isn't necessarily going to be a disaster. But the opportunity for unions and their members to realign themselves so that they are not considered to be part of the ALP camp and that's it, you have no right. You know, it's my ALP right or wrong. For that to start breaking down and for people to have to deal with those who supply financial support and membership support and votes from their members, to have that broken up is probably a good thing.
Oh, that's a tribal alliance, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, the loyalty. The other really important thing is the issue of the superannuation.
Well, the superannuation issue in terms of CBUS, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I would have thought that Mr. Irving would understand the responsibilities of a superannuation fund. It's a series of laws. It is laws and regulations, which is what got Michael O'Connor into trouble. But to remove people from the board who have to be there, given the nature of the fund, that it is a joint venture between the employers in the construction industry and the union, for him to remove three of the directors who happened to be aligned with the CFMEU, the AMWU, the AWU, the ETU, the plumbers, their representatives are still on the board. But the law says that those three CFMEU-orientated directors have to be replaced. He hasn't replaced them. He is in breach of the law himself. Fascinating problem for APRA.
Yeah, fascinating development. This is another fine mess you've got us into.
Ah, Mr. Irving's in a bit of a mess, I think.
Yeah. Well, the general feeling is that the boss class has been wanting to get their hands on workers' money for a very long time.
Well, they don't do too bad out of the split ownership of industry funds, let's be blunt.
Yeah.
The fact is there's some other people who are not getting a share of it want their bit.
What do you think's going to happen, Ralph? What are you hoping?
Well, in terms of the union as it's operating now, there have been a lot of allegations made, and I see that the Victoria Police have been criticised by the administrator, Mr. Irving, for not doing their job. And when he basically handed 20 matters to them, 12 of them were not handed to them appropriately because it's not their business, it's not criminal activity. Of the 8 matters that they said, yes, this is criminal allegations, 5 are not being proceeded with, 3 are being proceeded with, and, well, it'll be what it'll be.
Oh, this is fascinating. The police being politicised, being used as a political tool. Oh, my God, shock horror.
Oh, dear, the breakdown of the breakdown of civil society. But, like, this sort of rubbish is going to go on and on.
Do you see... Sorry, I was going to say, do you see this galvanising the working class, like a generation of people my age and below that are otherwise not involved in a political process or have been forgotten or taken for granted by the major parties? Do you see this being a moment for radicalisation?
Every moment is a potential radicalising moment. And the interesting conversations that I had on the rally, in the end I was part of a series of street meetings down Exhibition Street and then down at the corner of Collins and Exhibition. And what I was doing was I was talking to people I knew. I know a lot of people, of course, but they were there, like, the shop steward from a particular job, he was there with his father and his children. And this was, and these are conversations that have obviously taken about the development of the union and about the wage conditions and all the rest of it that have taken place in that family in 3 generations. So I think probably the boom that has gone on in this city for 20 years, the building boom that's gone on, is, you know, directly related to the fact that the population has increased so much, has sort of not suppressed radical experience, but it's not too hard to get a job in the building industry over the last 20 years and keep a job. The old days, when I grew up, it was on and off. It was survival stuff. Now it has been a bit more comfortable, but people still have background. Generational change is there in the industry, and that also the people that come into it, younger people that come into it, are getting to experience stuff. Maybe they haven't experienced before, but now they're experiencing it. And so every episode, every moment is a potential for people to learn. Now, whether they become radical or not, that's another matter. It's the whole process that goes on. I can remember when I was young, it was stop work to stop the war. The Vietnam moratorium campaign was being run in the early 70s, and people stopped work to go to those rallies. It's happening again. But it has happened a number of times in the last 20 years when we have opposed royal commissions, when we have gone out and campaigned against the work choices. It's all there. It just hasn't been concentrated. What's different this time is I think it's getting concentrated around one union, yes, but it is an experience which is applicable to all unions. The Labor Party's written a songbook, and the Liberals and the National Party are going to be singing from that big time. And we're all going to be at the receiving end. So maybe radicalisation is what's going to happen. I don't want to be too optimistic because I'm so often disappointed.
It was interesting that John Secker went to see to two of the major government sites over the week to talk to members, Metro Tunnel and Footscray Hospital, and that Jacinta Allen almost had wet her pants.
Well, I would think this morning she's seriously embarrassed. She played up big time on the TV, never stand between a politician and an election. But there are laws, and the police pointed out that if you go on to a site, it's only when you are asked to leave and you refuse to leave that you can be charged with trespass. Now, if she's got a problem, she should be talking to the people who are running those sites on behalf of the contractor, on behalf of the state government. I mean, most of these sites have got gates around them. You can't just walk in. But, as the police said quite correctly, and the BL's experience back in the 80s was, you could go to any job, you'd have a meeting, but someone had to come and say to you, I'm asking you to leave, and then you've got to refuse. John didn't refuse. John had his say and left. So I think Jacinta Allen's seriously embarrassed. And for once, the police got it right.
Well, you know, I don't know... I don't know if people realise this, but the VicPol are in the midst of industrial action at the moment. So it's this really quite interesting, you know, keeping plates spinning going on at the moment.
Well, good luck to them. I hope that their industrial organisation is effective in getting wages and conditions that, like everyone, is affected by what's going on with the cost of living and that, and I hope they get a decent outcome.
It's very funny, isn't it? That the political class think that seem to be so divorced from the what's going on in the real world.
Well, when the administrator, Mark Irving, is on a salary of $680,000 a year, including super, which is being paid for by the union dues of CFMEU members. It's not being paid for by the government. It's being paid for by the union members. And all the people that are working for him are being paid for by the union members. And all the people like Corda Mentor who are auditing the finances of the CFMEU looking for fraud or whatever they're looking for, when that's all getting paid for by the members, you can see why people are a little less than amused, because everyone's getting a feed out of the CFMEU, the media, the politicians, but now on the basics of money, all these people who are going to make the administration of the CFMEU a long-term paying investment.
Oh, it's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Have you got any idea about what's the next stage of action is going to from the? Well, I don't suppose you can really say what's going to happen next, can you?
Well, let's just say I'm hopeful that we will be seeing action not only by CFMEU members but also by the BIG, the Building Industry Group of Unions. They are coordinating the campaign against the administration, and I'm sure that we will be seeing plenty of action in the near future.
Thanks for talking. Oh, sorry.
More important, the long-term future, because this is going to be a long fight.
Yeah, it is. As someone said, this is it's only the first few rounds, and it's a 15-round fight.
Indeed, it is. Heavyweight title, fight of the world.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much.